Blog Talk Radio.
Charmouth, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you got the liquor, start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young. Darling, only the good die young. Whoa, 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 whoa. I tell you, only the good die young. Only the good die young. You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation. You got a brand new store, and a cross of gold. But Virginia, they didn't give you quite enough. You didn't count on me when you were counting on your rosary. Oh, 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 and they say there's a heaven for those who will wait. And some say it's better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young. Oh, baby.
Welcome to Part Sinner, Part Saint. Good and evil are not black and white. We all have a mix of naughty and nice. Poetry allows us to explore our dark sides and find our way to the light. I celebrate people who, like the founder of this show, recognize if they are on a dangerous path and make the difficult adjustments to be an amazing person. Share poems that reveal the duality of our vulnerability and strength. Capture the internal battle of the demon and angel on your shoulders. Deep poetry, thoughtful commentary, and fun chatter for sinners, saints, and everyone in between. I am your host, Afaziana, and I'm part of the group Late Night Poets on the website allpoetry.com. You don't have to be a part of the group to follow along, but it helps because then we post the text to go along with our poems, and you can read with us and participate on the board. But everyone is welcome to write for my contest on allpoetry.com and join us for the show. Pam, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Had a nice busy day, stayed productive. Looking forward to the poetry tonight. Great prompt choice from Babbler. And how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Awesome.
Is there anyone else with us?
On. Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes, Dexter's on with us.
The Duke of St. Paul.
I am on here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
and
thank
I
you for having
three...
me.
Yeah. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. I do have three other people to bring on. And
awesome.
That is Kel.
Hi, Kel.
Welcome, Kel.
Hello, Abiziana. Hi, Pam.
And area code 613, which I believe to be Lynn.
Lynn Gauthier, yes. Hi.
Hi,
well,
Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi.
And then Bobby. Welcome.
Bobby.
For a little bit.
Yes, I saw on the board that you can't stay long, and that's okay. It's still great to have you here. All right, it's a party. That's great.
Yes.
Lynn, I got your book in the mail today. I'm so excited.
Oh, Thanks, Lynn.
Yes. Okay. So since Bobby has to go, I'm going to put her up first, and here she is. Here I am looking for Bobby. It's Captain B2 on the website. Oh, but before I do that, I'm going to explain the theme. So Babbler, my wonderful co-host, who unfortunately can't be here today, did the contest this week, and it is based on the song that we just heard as the opening song. And that is Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel, which was a hit in 1977. And so the prompt is the song. It can either be how it sounds or certain lyrics in the song, whatever that made people feel. So most of our poems tonight will be from that contest. And I do have a couple of carryovers from Dexter's contest for the other show that I host with, Double Helix, too. So good thing Dex is here, too. All right. Bobby, I have put yours up on the board. Whenever you are ready, you can be our opening poem.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm teeing it up there right now, and the title of the poem is Damnuary. And the little caption there is warning my sense of humor. May it hurt your feelings, I suggest you get over it. The part of the song that I wrote to is, you know that only the good die young. And this may seem a bit somber, but stay with me. Like the Chicago weather, if you don't like it, it changes in 20 minutes. My beloved father died when he was just 54 years old. It gets worse. He and Mom were on vacation visiting me and helping me transfer duty stations because I, a Marine sergeant, had just gotten selected for a commissioning program, and I was going to be an officer. My dad had never been so proud. The evening before, we had all gone to see the towering inferno, and after the film, Dad and I walked back to their car hand in hand. I adored my father. He was my personal hero, and the next day he was gone. But this is not how I prefer to remember him. Divide. This is how I like to remember him. Dad was a jocular nonconformist with a fondness for levity, a joyously playful, good-natured prankster with an offbeat, quirky sense of humor. And my mom, the shy and staid homebody, was the perfect foil. because of Mom's classic, righteously indignatious rejoinders to Dad's incessant antics, hijinks, horseplay, spoofs, larks, escapades, rollicks, shenanigans, skylarking, tomfoolery, and monkey shines. Till I was 12, I thought my father's first name was, God damn you, Harry! No lie.
Oh, Bobby, that was excellent. I'm so glad that you were here to read it yourself, because you put such wonderful emphasis into your words. I'm so sorry for the loss of your father, but I love the way that you honor him here. I think that embracing the levity that he lived with and described here with so many kind of synonyms that you have going on, the jinx, horseplay, spook, lark, escapades. I mean, did you break out the thesaurus, but the fun one, these are all like wonderful words, monkey shines, and the ending, though, that you thought his name was God damn you, Harry. I love that. That is so fun, and I can just imagine the wackiness of your household, and just from talking to you, I can imagine what your father would have been like. That's
yeah,
awesome.
I'm my father. I am the personification of my father.
It does not surprise me.
I have nothing with my mother except her looks. I don't even have a coloring.
That's great. Dexter, the Duke of St. Paul, what did you think?
I thought that this was an amazing write. Great job at kind of telling the tale, or bringing us down, each poem could be standalone, or each side of the poem could be standalone in itself. It was very good, and it just kind of captured the dual nature of it, and a very touching tale, and I don't know, I just loved it. Very well done, Bobby.
Great comment. Thanks, Dex. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it, of course. I liked the transition from being very somber and serious. And I'm sorry for your loss, truly. But and then it moves into how your dad was as a person. And that is it's an amazing memory, and I'm sure it'll sustain you for a lifetime. So that is absolutely an awesomely written poem.
Thank you. It was all from life. I mean, my I heard it once. I heard it thousands of times. I could hear my mother's voice. God damn you, Harry! Had done something else. And I could hear my father laughing in the background, because he would, as and I put it in my author's notes, a foil character in a work of literature is a character who is the opposite of the main character, and the contrast helps to highlight the characteristics of the main character. Dad could pull the same prank on my mom repeatedly, and she'd fall for it every time. To my late mother's misfortune, I was the beneficiary of my father's quirky sense of humor, and she would occasionally get double-teamed. Poor mom.
I can just
That's
imagine.
Awesome. Lynn, what were your thoughts?
Wonderful.
Well, it was heart-wrenching. The beginning is heart-wrenching. The second part, I loved how it's constructed. The second part is just amazing. Like, you really bring him to life for all of us who didn't know him, unfortunately. And the fact, the second part is so, like, lovable, it makes the first part of course, we miss him without having ever met him, you know? I think it's a most touching tribute, and the vocabulary throughout is excellent, but in the second part it just wows you, you know. It's a beautiful poem, a beautiful tribute.
Thank you very much.
I really like, Lynn, that you point out that the second half makes the first half even more sad. I agree, because it builds him up as so lovable that it makes the first part have even more impact. I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah.
And Pam, what were your thoughts?
I thought this was absolutely wonderful. It's a tribute that's mm-hmm. filled with heart and humor. And I like that we get to know so much about your father and about your relationship with him. And, it's always fun to see that when a sense of humor runs in the family. And I enjoyed this very much. So very well done.
Thank you. In our family, though, the sense of humor didn't run, it galloped.
Awesome. Kel, would you read your poem for us next?
Certainly. Too soon. I had to write this one really quick because I only had like 3 hours and I was getting ready to go for the show. So too soon. There's a story written here, sung in tones so very clear. Billy Joel's sweetest years, written truly for every peer. Music resonates in timeless moments of youthful rhythm, sacred song of love unbidden. Voice entices, adds momentum. Music flows through lyrically, song ends much too quickly. The end.
Great read, thank you. And I like that you point out it ends too quickly, because whenever you really love a song, that it feels that way, like it ends too quickly. And then you play it on repeat until you end up hating it, or that's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Or you never hate it. You just continue loving
it. No, that's true. I tend to overplay.
Yeah. You wear the record out.
Yes, for sure. I really like that you pointed that part out, and that you describe it as, where is it here? The sacred song of love unbidden. And, you know, love unbidden tends to be, like, I think the truest. When you're looking for it and you're trying to make it work, if you have to try, it's probably not as real and strong. When it comes and you don't even want it to and it's overpowering, that's when it hits you. I thought this was great. Lynn, would you like to comment?
The song ends much too quickly, and I like that line a lot too. And it happens to be the last line of the poem, and like the rhythm and everything was very pleasant. So it's like we feel the same thing about the poem, that it ended too quickly, because you know everybody loves Billy Joel, and I love the line sung in tone so very. I just love the first part, actually, the whole first stanza. There's a story written here. Well, everybody loves that, a story written. Everybody's interested in a story. Sung in tones so very clear, Billy Joel's sweetest years, and written truly for every peer. I love, especially the first three lines, I really love them. And there's something else I wanted to say, and maybe I'll think of it when... after it's not my turn anymore. no, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
Completely came
you can
out
always
of my,
write it down
my
later
head.
Or chime in.
Okay. Sorry.
Babbler, what were your thoughts? Sorry, Babbler's not here. I'm so used to Babbler being here. Bobby.
Starts with a B. It works. I like the title, Too Soon. die young, which is too soon. And I like the way that the title draws the song in. The comments made about Billy Joel in the first stanza lead wonderfully into the second stanza. Music resonates in timeless moments of youthful rhythm. I don't know about anybody else, but to me, music is a time machine. And every time I hear a certain song, and it's, you know, different songs, but I can place myself exactly where I was and when I remember that song being popular. So it's always been a time machine for me. Sacred Song of Love Unbidden, voice and touch is ad momentum. Very lovely. I mean, if you wrote this in a hurry, God help us when you really take your time to write something, because this is really good.
Great point. And, you know, music is very much a time machine. I can't remember what I was watching lately. I think it was Criminal Minds, and they were talking about how the songs that come out when you're between 14 and 16, no matter, like, how much you liked them at that time, will be deeply embedded in you, because it's like that's when you first get to the age where you're picking out your own things and not just listening to, like, what your family listened to, and they will stick with you forever and have, like, this nostalgia, even if it wasn't exactly, like, your genre. And I feel like that it's totally, like, the time machine thing there.
Yeah.
Great comment.
The songs were older, though. When I was first my high school and my first year in the first couple of years in the Marine Corps, boy, those are really time machines for me.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Anytime where, like, the music is, like, really important to you, maybe where you're listening to it more, you make those connections.
Yeah, absolutely true. I agree completely.
Yeah.
Dexter, I know you're super into music. What are your thoughts?
I thought that this was a great brevity. You know, he sang kind of for the people. You know, it's definitely a timeless youthful rhythm. I thought that she captured a lot just for a brevity and really kind of told the spirit behind the song. So very well done.
Thank you, everyone.
And I think Pam hasn't had a chance yet to comment. Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful brevity. And when Lynn mentioned about the end line being song ends much too quickly, I thought that I had to agree that that was perfect to put that at the end, you know, and it was clever. And I really like music resonates in timeless moments of youthful rhythm. And Billy Joel's Sweetest Years written truly for every peer. Like the whole idea that, you know, that he may have written the song for a specific person, but when we listen to it, we hear about people we know, the good people we know
yep.
who have passed.
Yep.
And so excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
That is a wonderful comment, Pam, and it's true. Music and stories tend to bring up the way that we feel about things. We put our own perspective into it, and I really love that you pointed that out about this particular song. Lynn, I'm putting your poem up now, if you're ready.
Okay. Only the good die young. Yes, indeed, life is not fair. Why would the end be any different? We lose the people we love most. It breaks our heart and shatters it in a million pieces. Oh, what a void it leaves. Only the good die young. Imagine if death was fair, some kind of logical exit strategy we could wrap our head around, something we could accept, at least vaguely understand. But that will never be. Oh, no, Only the good die young. While others freely roam the earth, miserly bitter in their quest, inciting strife at every chance, their itty-bitty shriveled hearts at home sitting on a shelf, soaking in formaldehyde. Oh, yes, only the good die young. What a waste, and somehow we have to bite our tongue. We have to grin and bear it, live with the injustice of it all, maybe even find meaning. It's just the way it is and not about to change. End poem.
Great read.
Excellent read. And beautifully sad poem. I feel like this is so real and honest. It definitely hit me. I really liked near the end when you say, we have to bite our tongue, we have to grin and bear it, live with the injustice of it all, maybe even find meaning. And that there's such struggle here to deal with those feelings, and yet there's that perseverance where you manage to go through that painfulness and keep going. But I love how raw this is. I felt like you really made me feel. Dexter, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I thought that this was a very good write. Talking about people trying to logically, you know, come up with things about this world, and this has been something that's kind of stood for a while, a theory or just kind of an ideology, but it almost kind of delves in on, too, I feel like, this poem. Well, if we say the good die young, well, where then do I stand on all of that, you know, because all of us are still here reading this poem. All of us are still going on. So within that saying and within that context, what does that mean for all of us? I mean, that just means that all of us must be the bitter misery on the bitter quest. But I thought that this was a fantastic write and very well done.
Thank you.
Are you calling me old?
I think so. That's what I heard.
I am. Thanks, Dexter. Kel, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I like it. I like the wording of the itty-bitty shriveled heart at home sitting on a shelf soaking in formaldehyde. I mean, that is very clever writing. But the whole poem has a sense of nostalgia and melancholy to it. It's bittersweet, but it's also very harmonious. We do have to just grin and bear it and live with the injustice, you know, because what can we do about it? I mean, they're gone, and there's no sense in overdoing it. Although I gotta say, I do that a lot. I do that an awful lot. So this is a very beautiful.
Thank you, Cal. And Bobby, would you like to comment?
I thought this was line after line of absolute truth. It shakes out everything that we feel about death and about the people that we care about vanishing from our lives much too quickly. It's kind of like Mark Twain said that time is relative, that talking to a pretty girl for an hour seems like a minute, and sitting on a hot stove for a minute seems like an hour. The people that we care about, the ones that bring joy to our lives, we can never get enough of them. And the ones that suck the oxygen out of the room, it's like they won't go away. And I think that's what we're looking at here. And Dex, I can help you out on your supposition there. I know for a fact that heaven doesn't want me and hell is afraid I'm going to take over.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a good one, Bobby.
Pam, what were your thoughts?
I really liked this one. It was hard to think. It was thought-provoking. It had some wonderful kind of, like, almost a dark, twisted humor to it. And the whole idea that, you know, the good die young, well, then, you know, as Dexter had mentioned, what does that mean for us that are still alive? And what are those good people who... we know that there's not a truth to this statement, and yet it's made over and over again because both the good and the bad died at different ages. And I really like how there's kind of a philosophy to this. It's like, imagine if death was fair, some kind of logical exit strategy. There's never any logic, or very rarely is there logic to death. And we try so hard to bring logic to it. And it's just an excellent write and very well done. Thank you so much.
Great comments, everyone, and great poem, Lynn.
Thank you.
Dexter, I am putting yours up. Oh, and good night, Captain B2, Bobby. Thank you so much for calling in and reading your poem. So, Dex, whenever you're ready, you can go ahead.
All right, this is for the hood. Where do I begin? Shit, maybe at the end. About the middle of my drink, I start to clear my head. The part of me that's dead still calls me for bread. Like, get back in the game and get your ass off the bench. This 9-to-5 sucks. Let's get some real bills to spend. Programmed to lose when nobody around you wins. Like, how can I shake something far down within? Like, fuck, I gotta stay down. That's just how I am. The shit'll leave you killed or it leads to the pen. So instead, I let these feelings bleed through my pen. West side, we turn guppies into shark bait. Love into heartache. Routine stops into a car chase. This is for those cops that maced me at my grandma's place. To tunes twisting one-handed J's. Some shit I wouldn't change. That's just how we was raised. To you, it might be strange, but I'm sure some can relate. End poem.
That was great, Dex. I love the cadence and rhythm to your writes, and it's from a song, as it says in your AN, so you can tell that there's a lyrical nature to this. It flows so well. I like when you say, the shit leaves you killed or leads to the pen, so instead I leave these feelings bleed through my pen. Well, the different connotations of the word pen. They are, I like the way that you use that wordplay, and, you know, that you are using your pen rather than ending up in the pen. I'm happy for that. I love this, and I really like that you turned it into a song, too. Pam, would you like to comment?
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is excellent. It's raw. It's gritty. Great rhyme and flow. A wonderful read. I can definitely see how this would make an excellent song. I really like this 9-to-5 sucks. Let's get some real bills to spend. Programmed to lose when nobody around you wins. This will leave you killed or leave the pen. So instead, I let the feelings bleed through my pen. It's a wonderful wordplay. And I like West Side, we turn gumpies into shark bait. I like that as a reference to West Side Story and the sharks. I thought that was a bit of fun and cleverness in the middle of a rather serious, a poem. And, you know, some things that we grow up with, the people we relate to, the ways we connect it, aren't ways that everybody is going to understand. But that's okay, because what matters is that we understand it and the people we are closest to understand it. So an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Lynn, what were your thoughts?
Well, it was read beautifully. Like, that's, I love hearing like the spoken word. It's, you just did a fabulous job, and very poignant. And I like the tone that it's not like it's not aggressive. It's like just like it's a shitty. There's no anger in it. I like that. Like it's poignant without being angry. I really like that. And it takes us out of the box because I wasn't like I was growing up. We were poor, but we didn't see that kind. You know, it wasn't that kind of stuff. So like it's foreign to me, but you know, I'm old enough to know that there's lots of that kind of stuff around. You know, like. I don't know, I'm not expressing myself very well here, but you kind of know what I mean.
I hope
somebody knows what
Thank
I
you.
Mean. Oh, it's beautifully written. The flow
Thank
and
you.
The rhyme and the rhythm is just next level. Very good.
Thank you.
Agreed. Kel, what did you think?
I thought it was really amazing, and I want to hear the whole song. It's just the rhythm and flow. The lyrics is just, it just catches you and hangs on. It's just really, really amazing. I really like the whole damn thing. It just fills together so well. And it's just one bit isn't the same without the rest of it. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, well.
And I felt like it tied in tonight because it was the good die young. It shows the avenue that how many people that are good, you know, if you don't find something like poetry or you don't find an outlet like writing, how at a young age you just one bad choice you're not going to make it, you know. And so that's why I felt like it tied in tonight. So thank you, though, for the comments.
Yeah, I think that works, Dexter. It really does. Thank you for adding that. Pam, I believe we have a SoundCloud for Frank, Poetic Picasso.
All right, let's see here. Yes, we do. Here we go.
Virginia, it's better to be a dreamer than to be an uptown girl, a new superstar than a nun, a rebel and a goody two-shoes. Sometimes life is more about living and less about worrying about sin. When all we've got are broken hearts from the sad songs of Sunday blues. The world of the dreamers is full of the pages of chapters unwritten, a thousand riddles and mysteries, not the sermons of Sunday church. Your mother says I'm just a bad boy, I'd rather be one than a preacher's boy. Forget about the angels of innocence, 'cause people are no fake than real. It's a time when the sinners are many and the saints are far and few to care. Life is too short to dwell in bitter regrets, and sin is a taboo everyone broke. Let your feet go and listen all night long to the jukebox playing your favorite song. Dance with the cool beat of rock and roll. Stop being a prunish Catholic girl. Darling, some people will say that you're a fool to waste your youth in dancing shoes, but don't care about the Sunday gossip, because life is too sweet to not enjoy the fun. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints all night. And I'd rather sing and be laughing than to be crying and regretting. I'd rather row with the sinners than with the saints of today. Because you only live once in life. Better to be a sinner than a saint. Virginia, I'd rather be just a sinner. Because I'll never be a saint. Only the good die young. In the poem.
Very smooth read, Frank. Nicely done. I like the life is too short to dwell in bitter regrets, and sin is the taboo everyone broke. Some people will say that you're a fool to waste your youth in dancing shoes. But I don't care about the Sunday gossip because life is too sweet not to enjoy the fun. And that's so true. I mean, I was the boring, prudish Catholic girl for most of the time. But I kind of regret that. I'm like, why didn't I have more fun? you know, you got to put on your dancing shoes once in a while. Dexter, why don't you comment?
Yeah, you know, it's comes down to, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, I guess, you know, it's the thought of a sin is a man, or I guess, or a woman, but is a human created concept, and so some might view this and that, you know, drinking and or whatever, you know, having sex, things like that, as a sin. Somebody else might consider a life wasted as being a sin. And so, it's just where you prioritize things. And if it's good to you, if it's good to you, it's good for you, you know? And so, it's like, you know, it's putting a lot of faith in the afterlife, you know, to just sit there and do all of these good things when none of that is a guarantee. What is a guarantee is right here and right now. And I thought Frank kind of captured that very well. In trying to entice a woman to live a little bit. So I thought that this was a very well written piece.
I agree. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a wonderful piece, and I like how it's written, directly to this young lady, and reminding her that life should be lived to the fullest, and reminding her that it doesn't matter what other people think. She needs to do what makes herself happy. If it's dancing, whatever it is, the rock and roll, you know, and I enjoy how he caught the spirit of the song and yet used his own style. So it's an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
That's a good point. He does keep his style, but he definitely, like, picks up on the overall kind of, like, vibe that is intended with the song. And Lynn, what were your thoughts?
Well, the read was like, I thought it really brought the poem to an extra dimension, because to me, like, throughout, I kept hearing, like, the voice of the devil, tempting and smooth. So I thought that was pretty neat. And I don't think the choice for the girl's name was an accident. I don't think so. I thought that was interesting. And let me see. I just thought the voice, like, it just took it way to the next level. It was really neat. It's an awesome read, and
Yes.
A great poem, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And Frank is a voice actor, so.
Yeah, duh. Oh, yeah, that's like the, you know, he's the one, he has the apple in Eden's, in the Garden of Eden. He was the one holding the apple and offering it. Come, take this apple. Oh, yeah. For
he
sure.
is good at that.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
Cal, would you like to comment?
Oh, definitely. I like Frank's style. And this poem, it goes really well with the song, you know, Let Your Feet Go and Listen All Night Long to the Jukebox playing your favorite song. Dance with the cool beat, rock and roll. Stop being a prunish Catholic girl, darling. It's just really well written and flamboyant, but it's also got that little bit of spirituality in it because of the sinners and the saint aspect of it. So it's really, really quite well done. And I would rather be a sinner than a saint, too, because I don't want to die young.
Fair enough. And then Frank says on the board, I have a magical apple. So he's trying to tempt you, Lynn.
Oh, there we go. See, I knew it. I knew it. He wasn't fooling me.
This next poem is by Blatant B. And I'm going to read that. The Rush of Immaturity parody. Don't let them push you. Pirates don't just love ledges. They corrupt minds. Steal chastity, cast you off as nothing. Rather die wise, being who you are, an individual, not a parrot, reciting strangers' words. The good die at the right time. Change that Billy Joel line. If you not ready, you will be fine. Yes, we can go away at any time, but there's no rush to mature. The most bitter wine is the most expensive. Be who you are. Their right suitors understand. They only surface after you learn to love yourself. Virginia, your name means purity. Don't let it be tarnished by childish words to corrupt your flower. The good die young, because the bad want to convert them all until they all fall and bad becomes the norm. Okay, well, since this was a, end poem. Because this was a parody of the song, I feel like I should have got Dexter to read it and actually sing it. So I'm sorry, Blatant B. I should have got Dex to sing it. But thank you for this poem. The most bitter wine is most expensive. You know, that's kind of true. I actually prefer the cheap, fruity stuff. And I feel like life can be like that. That's a really good metaphor of, you know, sometimes the fancy thing that people are working towards is actually kind of not as fun as the crazy lower class stuff. It makes me think of in the movie Titanic when they have, like, the boring stuffiness on the top. That they're all fancy and stuff, but
yeah,
like they're just
right.
kind of sitting there awkwardly. And then the people underneath, who are the servants, are having so much fun dancing around and stuff. I don't know, that line made me think about that. Lynn, what were your thoughts?
Oh boy. Oh, can I speak later? It's just my eyes are burning and my eyes are burning
no worries.
And I can't think.
That's okay. Dex.
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. The good die at the right time, change that Billy Joel line. If you're not ready, you will be fine. You know, I think that that's a great thought because, you know, I was like, wasn't too long ago either. Or, I mean, it's ironic because it's like a year from the George Floyd thing stuff. And I remember around that time, like, thinking, like, what if, you know, John Lennon, or what if Tupac, or what if, you know, what if some of these people were still around, what would they be thinking? And it's almost like they weren't meant to be around at this time, you know, because it's just like, it's just too much stupidity, or like, and it's just too screwed up for certain people to have to, you know, even have to go through this, you know? And so, I thought that this was a very interesting write and a different perspective of it. So it was very well done.
Thank you, Dexter. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this is it's an intriguing write. It's thought-provoking. I really like, yes, we can go away at any time, but there's no rush to mature. The most bitter wine is the most expensive. Be who you are. Their right suitors understand. And, you know, I like the fact that there's this message to this young woman and to people all over who read this poem, the idea that, you know, just stay true to yourself, be yourself. People should love you for who you are and not expect you to fit into a mold. So just an excellent write and very well done.
I agree. Kel, what were your thoughts? The mute monster might have you. Did we lose Kel?
Well, she's still on. Did I hear her voice?
Maybe she had to step away for a second.
That could be, yeah.
Okay. Well, Pam, would you read the one by Pink Fairy for us, please?
Oh, I'm always happy to read Pink Fairy 5. And, all right. And this is, Do You Want to Be Stagnant and Stale? By Pink Fairy 5, and it goes like this. Your goodliness and godliness parades around my head and makes me scoff. I used to be that way too, but the devil came by with her enticing rage. She had such a convincing spiel. I followed her gladly, understanding now that the sinner part of me is more fun than not. Do you want to be stagnant, stale, left in the dirt? An old maid or worse, your prissy ways and persnickety attitude is going to cause you to petrify. You will never experience little death if you remain on this track. Come play with me, hear the pipes, frolic and dance, the time is ripe. You deserve to live, eat from the fatted calf, drink some red wine. Stop standing in the mirror of others, nurture your wanton side. Lust and love, they're all there, baby, and money and greed. Let yourself have a taste of the life you crave, the good life. They who pressure you into purity are jealous of your youth. They want you to become moldy, green, yesterday's bread. Do not waste your talents. Your hunger is vast. You are voluptuous, adventuresome. Taste some life, my friend. Let me help you by leading the way. End poem.
Excellent read, Pam. And this is a great poem, Pink Fairy 5. I love the word persnickety. Oh, you get points just for using that word. I really loved the last stanza, especially. Those who pressure you into purity are jealous of your youth. They want you to become moldy green, yesterday's bread. I love the way that she words things here. You know, there's a touch of humor, but at the same time, I think it really says something about not wasting your talent or your hunger or, like, missing out on adventures. I thought that this was very nicely done. It had a light surface, but it had some depths too. I like that mix. Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it's the give and take of it all. You'll never experience the little death if you remain on this track. It's like what we consider, what we've been referring to as living, you know, quote unquote, is also has a lot to do with killing yourself in a way. You know, it also kind of maybe kills your character. It also maybe slightly takes years off of your life. So it's the give and take of living, but it's also, in a way, starting, you know, speeding up and maybe in a way, killing off, your innocence. And so I thought that this was a very good write.
That was an excellent comment. The little death is also, slang for orgasm, so it works on so many levels. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is an excellent fight, and it does work on different levels. I do see it as somebody calling somebody forward to live life to the fullest, really specifically focusing on the sexual side of life. On the idea that, you know, you don't have to hide yourself. You don't have to hide your sexuality, you know, your desires. You know, reach out, explore them, explore who you are and yourself. You know, I really like stop standing in the mirror of others, nurture your wants inside. You know, and throughout this, there is kind of a dark, as you mentioned, a dark, twisted humor. And there is, as Dexter mentioned, kind of an exploration of life and death. But it does, it has that message of, you know, don't be afraid of what others think. Go for what you want. And just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Lynn, what are your thoughts?
What grabbed me right away, the opening line, your goodliness and godliness parades around my head, in my head. I thought that was pretty neat. And there's lines that I really liked in there and that were, like, surprising. Stop standing in the mirror of others. So I'd never heard that. Metaphor, you know, like in the mirror of others. I thought that was cool. And I too love the two lines there. They who pressure you into purity are jealous of your youth. They want to be, do you want to become moldy yesterday's bread? That was cool. Yeah, the whole, there's a lot of like flashy vocabulary and imagery that's always original, like she's very original, always. But this is very good, right?
I like that you pointed out that part about the, now I have lost my train of thought.
The mirror? Stop standing
the
in
mirror,
the mirror,
yes,
brother.
Yes, thank you. The mirror. I really like that too, that the mirror of others, like seeing yourself in reflected in their reactions. I really loved that part, so I'm glad that you brought that up. And then remembered because I forgot halfway through the comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that that I thought was really funny at the end, it says, do not waste your talents. And it was like, I sort of got the sense that, I don't know why exactly, because when I came across that, I looked up. I said, "Well, where am I getting this impression?" And I thought of sexuality too, and do not waste your talents. It's like, okay, and because it's followed by you are voluptuous, adventuresome. I don't know. I thought that was funny that I reacted that way to that.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one.
I know
one.
You're usually the innocent one, Lynn.
Yeah.
I've corrupted you. Oh, no.
You have. You have.
And Kel, would you like to comment on Pink Fairy's poem?
Unmute. Yes, I do, actually. Your goodness and godliness braids around in my head and makes me scoff. I used to be that way too, but the devil came by with her enticing ways. He had the convincing seal. I followed her gladly, understanding now that the sinner part of me is more fun than not. And then she goes on from there saying, you know, come have fun, you know, what's stopping you? You know, you deserve to live. Eat from the fatted cow. Drink some red wine. Stop standing in front of the mirror of others. Nurture your wants inside. You know, that's just really amazing imagery and metaphor. And I really, really enjoyed this.
It was a great poem. Good comments, everyone. So our next poem is by Gerald E. Green. And Dexter, would you read this one for us?
Yes. This is Gerald E. Green, Choice. She made a choice to put
audio.
Her face. Oh, sorry. She. Oh, does it?
I'm sorry. Yes,
yeah.
You're right, Pam. Okay,
Kelly.
So I apologize. Dex, let's go with the audio for this one.
Oh.
Okay, awesome.
But you know they're going to save you and you're going to read another one, eh? You know that, eh?
Oh, yeah, I'll put him to work in a minute.
All right, now go
tonight.
Ahead.
No, I'm kidding. I said a good night. I was joking.
Good thing he was joking. All right, I'll go ahead and push play.
Choice, written in red by Gerald Green. She made a choice to put her base on hold and place her family's culture on a shelf, to taste and feel what freedom was about in New York City, far away from home. Within a week, she found a waitress job and never felt in need of extra help, because of savings and her daily tips that added to a newborn confidence. She met a playwright in her second week and made a point to talk to him each time he came. She loved to write and wanted to get closer, so she teased him with her smile. He took her to a party in a bar where people danced and someone gave a speech, a funny speech about mistakes and fame, and of her friend whose play was opening. At 1 a.m., the party left the club and took some taxis to a place uptown, a private place, where someone lived alone above a store on 7th Avenue. She watched the people using heroin and smoking pot along with yellow pills as talking slowed and pounding music sped until she realized she had to leave. The scene was new to her and frightening. It made her feel alone and vulnerable. She found her coat and left without a word and took a cab back to her rented room. Within a week, she gathered all her things and rode the bus back to her rural home where life was slower, with stability, and hometown culture waited patiently. End poem.
Excellent read. Thank you, Gerald E. Green, for the audio. And I'm sorry, I almost missed it. Thank you, Pam, for noticing. This is a different interpretation of the song, but I quite enjoy it. It's, you know, that story of going to the big city and the culture shock of it, because it definitely can be a big adjustment and not for everyone. And I really like how it talks about, like, the pounding music sped. I get sensory overload because my brain is messed up, and I can just picture, like, when it feels like everything is going way too fast or way too slow, and it's just kind of, like, overwhelming in that crowd, and when you're seeing things that are a bit shocking to you at the time, like if she's not familiar with the whole drug scene and that suddenly she's seeing that all over the place, it can be unsettling. And she went back to her home, and, you know, this is a different attitude than some of the poems, but I think that it's it shows that, like, you know, be yourself with some of the messages that we've heard, and sometimes being yourself is to be the quieter, safer one, and that's cool. So thank you, Gerald. Pam, what did you think?
I think this is an excellent right. I like that it took a different approach. As always, a wonderful recording. He's got a great reading voice. I can't remember what it's called, but this reminds me of that time period where a young Amish person is given the opportunity to leave for, I think it's like a year or something like that, and go out into the world. And that way then they can make a choice of whether they want to stay out in the world or they want to come back and continue to be a part of the Amish community. And I know it has a, like, it's like a Dutch or German phrase. Yep, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, it was Kel who mentioned the recording. So kudos on that, Kel. Thank you very much.
Good catch, Kel.
And, yeah, well, all us Midwest women sound a lot alike, just so damn cute. Why you have trouble telling us apart.
That's right.
And exactly. And but, yeah, I really like how this was just really hard-hitting and emotive, and it does capture well. But, you know, it also applies to anybody who comes from a sheltered life, maybe perhaps somewhere where things like this don't stand out as much. I like where it says, at 1 a.m. the party left the club and took some taxis to a place up top, Pike Place, where someone lived alone above a store on 7th Avenue. That's wonderful attention to detail. And she watched the people using heroin. And there's something about this, the straightforward manner of it allows you to see what young woman sees. Just an excellent write and very well done.
Great points, Pam. I like that you brought up the Rungspringa. I kind of went there too in my mind, of that kind of leaving your own kind of culture for a little while and figuring out who you want to be. And sometimes that is to go back to that original culture, and sometimes it's not. I think that's a big experience when you go away to college or university. It's not just about the classes you take. It's about that, you know, kind of getting out into the world and being surrounded by other people who are figuring themselves out too. That was a big part of the learning curve for me, going away to school, just being in the world, culture shock. I was pretty sheltered. All right. I'm trying to think who has commented. Kel, did you get the comment? Okay,
no,
go ahead.
Ma'am. I can actually kind of relate to this because I was a 60s girl, okay? And my parents were shut. Sorry, not you, my dog. I was very sheltered. And so when I did finally get out in the world, care what was going on around me, all I could do is just sit and watch everyone. But it was discomforting. So it's just really understandable, you know, and it takes me back. So, yeah, it's very well written, considering he's an older gent, you know, and to, you know, understand so well how a young woman would feel at a scene like this. It was very, very well done. Good job, Gerald.
I agree. And Dexter, what were your thoughts?
You know, I think that it's, you know, recognizing, I guess, who has your best interest, having like a newfound appreciation for what you have, because it comes from a place of real disappointment, I guess, in striving for something that you thought, and realizing it wasn't. It's not, and you know, it's not, the people aren't what you want. The other things aren't what it seems. And being very disappointed, you know, at those after hours. And so, you know, I think that a lot can be said kind of about this too, because, you know, like even like work parties and stuff, how that can be kind of a risky business. Because it's like, you know, how much do you, you know, how much do people let go, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you still got to show up to work on Monday with these people and still be able to have respect. And so it just seems like somebody who was just very disappointed in people that she held in a high, in a high place. So I thought it was very well written.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Dexter. And I am going to get you to read now the one by Wolverine.
All right, this is Wolverine. Regrets are regretless. Do it. I dare you. The die is just a dollar. Go purple. Go orange. Go raven or snow. Your puffy old pastor and papa might holler, but what do they know? Neither one is a scholar. With their boring old hair barely touching their collar. So do it, I dare you, and make your hair glow. It costs a bit more for the jabbing and ink. It's permanent. People, they won't hire you. It's permanent. The people, they won't hire you. Your church friends, your family, oh wait, what will they think? Good Lord, those old snappers could sure use a drink. Nymphadora tattoo with her hair turning pink. Harry Potter, that's awesome. He inspired me too. Everyone. Has a first kiss. Don't listen to stuffy shirts calling it a sin. First kisses are magic, a spell cast of bliss. That's both awkward yet perfect. And listen to this. If it isn't true love, you will still reminisce. Young regrets are regretless. A loss is a win. End poem.
Thank you for reading. Wolverine, I really enjoyed this. And I feel like this totally captures like my little bit of rebellion of what I finally did, with my purple hair. And I didn't actually get tattoos, but most of my friends and boyfriends had a lot of tattoos. And I really love the wording of a spell cast in bliss that's both awkward yet perfect. That is such a great way to describe a first kiss. I thought this was wonderful. I kind of want an Nymphadora tattoo now. I loved her in Harry Potter, the books more than the movies, but still. And I miss my colorful hair. I might have to go colorful again. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is an excellent write. It's got some
a wonderful rhyme and flow. I like the attitude and the whole idea of, you know, just be yourself. You know, if you want that pink hair, turn it pink. If you want that tattoo, get it. Don't worry about what anyone else says. Just absolutely an excellent write on living life with no regrets, and very well done.
And Kel, what did you think?
I quite enjoyed it. I have 4 tattoos, but I've never colored my hair pink or purple. But that don't matter, you know. It's what you want. It's what you want to do with your life, and that's what matters. Just, you know, don't have regrets just because somebody tells you that's not right, shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. Just do what feels right to you, and that's what it's all about. Because if it isn't true love, you will still reminisce. That's awesome. I love that phrase. Very well done.
Agreed. Dexter, you read it for us, but would you also like to comment?
Yeah. You know, I think that this is correct and to a certain extent. You know, it's, you know, it's done with a certain innocence to it, but, you know, at the same time, there still is going too far. You know, you still could get a big money sign tattooed on your forehead or, you know, some wild shit or something across your face that I'm sure that this would be a little bit different than what the poem is stating. But at the same time, you do need to express yourself in certain ways. So very well done.
Well, absolutely. There are limits to everything. But, you know, going with what feels right. And yeah, you know, you can definitely go too far with all kinds of things. You know, it's talking about not regretting missing out on a kiss. Now, more than a kiss, you may want to consider a little bit more. It's all about context. Our next poem has a sound cloud, I believe, from Jaskaran.
All right. Let me go ahead and move over there and push play as soon as I find it. Hold on. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Be free, die hard. That means be shedding feathers like leaves with sex of gold, gently dancing over the earth. Empty, left bare naked. I'm still looking for the exit of a maze, just as a metal cooled and hardened from fire and melted touch. I want to leave everyone's tears, dripping on the cheeks, turning Indian wishes after. Hungry for sunshine, chasing illusions, skydiving in the cockpit of beef, growing seed in the middle of the sea. The terminal ending haunting me, devil game. I will leave soft seats of a bed, lay down and get under somewhere. Enter the dream where heaven is a heaven's paradise. Often this morning, burst itself aggressively, to breach only a night fog. A kind of promise, the meeting of two glasses and bear two cards, for under kitchen moon. Learn as you know, it will. Thus, like a bird, flying out of a dark tunnel, different cards above, a butterfly wakes up in the team, I with a brave heart, as a finger song for myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaskaran, for giving us that audio. It's so wonderful to hear it in your own voice. I really liked the metaphor of the metal. Just as metal cooled and hardened from fire's magic touch, I want to release everyone's tears dripping down the cheeks, turning into infectious laughter. I really love that stanza. And skydiving in the crochet of breeze. That is very creative way of wording this. Very creative interpretation of the prompt. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was very well done. I liked the way that it was broken up and formatted, but a kind of promise that the clinking of two glasses, emerald to quartz, flow under a crescent moon, lion rises now roar. You know, it's like a just a promise that's just very spiritual, and it's just deep down, and you really mean it in that moment. But I thought that this was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Kel, would you like to comment?
Oh, yeah. Considering his circumstances, Jaskaran, it has an amazing positive outlook, and that I really, really love that. Is that I want to release everyone's tears dripping down the cheeks, turning into infectious laughter. It's just so lovely. Thus, like a bird flying out of a dark tunnel, drifting clouds above, the butterfly wakes up in my dream. I, with a brave heart, write a funeral song for myself. That's kind of sad, but it's so heartwarming the way he writes. It just totally amazes me. Beautiful, beautiful poem.
Well said. I really love his poetry. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy his poetry, too. He's always got strong emotive imagery and metaphors. I really like Hungry for Sunrise, Chasing Away Illusion, Skydiving in the Crochet of Breeze. I was a soft creak of a bed to lay down and get out of slumber, enter their dreams, where our haven is a heaven's paradise. You know, I like the whole idea of living dreams, but living them with that sense of reality, that idea of being hungry for more, of you know, just reaching out for that sunrise and soaring as life will allow you to soar. So powerful, right, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Pam, would you like to read our next poem by Virginia Gilbert?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to do that. And let me find that. There we go. And this is Yes, Virginia by Virginia Gilbert. And it goes like this. They said this when I was six and figured out about Santa Claus, and Waylon said it too. Yes, Virginia, there is another woman, and she loves me like I used to wish you do. But Mick and Keith called me sweet and invited me to come on down, while Whiskey wanted me to come dance around his memory for a while. Train says, meet Virginia. She never compromises, loves babies and surprises, wears high heels when she exercises. Tom Petty says, leave me alone. She's not like you and me. She's a loser. She's a forgiver. And she still finds good where no one else could. So, Billy, I've heard all the lines. You say only the good die young. I'm not sure what that has to do with me or why you have to bring up the rosary. I'd say you should listen to the others. See me for who I am. Sometimes I rhyme. Sometimes I don't. Mostly I want to live that line. I went down Virginia seeking shelter from the storm. See you there, Fogarty. End poem.
Great revamp. I really loved how this referenced so many songs, and the fact that her username and possibly her real name is Virginia worked out really nicely for this, matching the names in the songs. I thought that was wonderful. I used to love that song by Train, the Meet Virginia one. I mean, it's been forever since I listened to it, but I like that that was included. I thought this was clever in its delivery, like the songs were talking to her and she kind of responded differently to each of them, taking them personally. I thought that was really smart, and I really enjoyed this. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, she almost referred to the song as if it was a recycled pickup line that she'd heard before, and so I thought that this was and being, you know, the name Virginia Gilbert, you know, I'm sure she's heard it all as far as pertaining to Virginia and all of it, you know, and everything else that it encompasses, or that it encompasses. So I thought that this was very well done as far as just and kind of maybe knocking him down a peg, because it is kind of a recycled concept. And so I thought just, I don't know, it was just a very clever angle to take.
It really was. Kel, what did you think?
Well, I think Dexter said it very well. I couldn't think of what it reminded me of, but a pickup line was perfect. I read her author note. It says, prompted by the contest, Only the Good Die Young, with a nod to Waylon Jennings, the Rolling Stones, Train, Whiskey Myers, Tom Petty, and John Fogerty, who all tried to understand these women named Virginia. I'd say John Fogerty has the best take. I really quite liked it. It was amusing, and I loved the way she fit all these little Virginia songs into it. It's just really clever music and very, very well written.
It is so clever. I kind of want to make it into a contest that people have to use multiple songs sort of in that way. I got to think how I would word it, but I really like the concept of it.
Yeah.
Pam. What did you think, Pam?
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought this was wonderfully clever, the way she used different songs. And, you know, I like how Dexter mentioned it. It's kind of like she, it's as if she's singing the Billy Joel song as a overused pickup line. You know, I like that when she says, so Billy, I've learned all the line. And, you know, and I like that she says, but Mick and Keith called me sweet, inviting me to come on down. And of course, the ending wraps up really nicely. You know, there's just a certain sense of attitude and ready to, you know, meet somebody where they are with the line, see you there, Fogerty. Just a wonderful write all the way through, and very well done.
Agreed. I believe there's a SoundCloud for the one by Chris Yellow.
All right. Let me go check here. And I am looking. Geraldine, Frank, intro, Jess Grant. I have one from a Jesse Allen. Is that the same person or a different person?
I think that might be it. It was a different format that it was sent in. I couldn't see the name. That's probably it.
Okay, here we go.
Only the Good Die Young by Chris Yellow. Life flies by you swirling your skirt. You can plant your feet in the sure dirt or dance to the gay sounds it brought, but you will be left counting turns. If you focus on its colors, your eyes will water and hurt. While you lose its fresh bun scent, its butterfly wings flutters. You can choose wisely, but it won't wait frozen. Sooner, hurricane your plans across deserts and oceans. It will pluck your feathers if spread to its caress, like a wolf would a hut, shielding its fat meal. By the time you grow, your thirst for flight is dragged by an inner voice, and you are unable to move. The oldest of trees, rather, sway to the gushing wind, then attempt thick and haughty to halt its turbulent current. Alas, it catches up, leaving you counting turns and Polaroids you took along the unexpected way.
Thank you for that audio. Oh, there we go. Thank you for the audio. That was really excellent to hear it in your own voice. I enjoy this poem very much. I liked that it says, if you focus on its colors, your eyes will water and hurt. So it makes me think of, like, the sun. While it's so bright, it's going to hurt you if you look at it directly. If you just enjoy it in the peripheral, then it's wonderful. And I think she's saying that life is like that, where, you know, you can't laser in on one aspect. You have to just kind of, like, go with the flow a little bit. And that going with the flow also applies to the trees later on, where if you sway with the wind, it works out. If you try to, stop the current, it's a problem. I really liked the mentioning the Polaroids at the end, and, you know, that nostalgia bit of you'll look back at all the fun that you had that was unexpected. So you get off that conveyor belt of life and go have fun and put those little memories together as you learn things going with the flow. I thought this was beautiful. Kel, what did you think?
I liked it. It had a hint of nostalgia to it. Life lies by you swirling your skirt. You can plant your feet in the sure dirt or dance in the gay sounds it brought, but you will be left counting turns. It's just really, it's soft and sweet and kind of slumberous. I quite like that, the rhythm to it. Very nice.
I agree. Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree about the, if you look at it too closely, you can look at things like people dying young as such a sad thing if you focus on it so closely. But also there's a sense to it that, you know, some people were just meant to be here like a bottle rocket. And the thing is that, the meddling, you know, it's like a George Carlin thing where he talks about, like, human beings, you know, meddle into things so much and trying to say, well, we should have done this, we should have done that. But it's like, you know, we try to make so animals don't go extinct. Well, when the reality is that, like, it's something like 99% of the species that have ever been on this planet have gone extinct before us. And so why do we think that we have this power to try and stop fate when you should just, instead of admiring how sad it is, you should just admire, or I mean, instead of seeing how sad it is, you should just admire the person on what that they were meant on the course that they were meant for. So I thought that this was a great write.
Thanks, Dex. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really like her poetry. A wonderful, straightforward style. I really like, you can choose wisely, but it won't wait frozen. Sure, hurricanes, your plan, hurricane plan across deserts and oceans, it will pluck your feathers, if spread to its caress. You know, I like the whole idea of, you know, that making that choice wisely, that, you know, not, you know, like it has to be made. You can't just let it go floating, the opportunity go floating off. So really just a wonderful all the way through and very well done.
Great comment. So I'm going to read my short little thing that I wrote 2 minutes before the show. It's not my best work, I'm sorry. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't write for tonight. Laughing trouble. So this was to the quote, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, which is part of the song. Laughing trouble. I've been the angel crying, giving until I'm dying. The world gets heavy. If I'm to stay steady, I need to laugh at inappropriate times. I will be naughty in some of my rhymes. Sinners give me a taste of freedom, essential part of equilibrium. End poem. I feel weird asking for comments on my own poem, so I'm just going to move on.
No.
Well,
comment.
Okay.
Yeah, Pam, what did you think about Aphasiana's right?
Oh, what a wonderful brevity that captures the spirit of that line. It's great all the way through, but I do like that she mentions the world gets heavy, and I need to laugh at inappropriate times. I so relate to that. I think we all have those moments where we laugh and people look at us like, what the heck? I like how in just a few lines we learn about different sides of Aphasiana, like I will be naughty in some of my rhymes. You know, just a delightful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you.
And Kells, what did you think about this?
Oh, I liked it. It was a nice little brevity. And I totally agree. I need to laugh at inappropriate times. You need to be naughty, you know, because that just, isn't that what life is all about? It's just being yourself and your own individuality. It's just an awesome thing. And I like this a lot. It's just really a sweet little piece.
Yeah, I agree. This kind of reminds me of a time when I was like in like seventh grade and I just hated this teacher. Ms. Jurgensen, if you're listening, I hated you. I remember just sitting there, we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance and somebody did something where I was just like, and you know, when you got that look on your face where you're just about to explode laughing. And I remember just looking over and seeing her seeing the Pledge of Allegiance, but just giving the, I want to just, like, you better not laugh, look, right, you know, just staring at me, and it just made me want to laugh even harder. I got in a lot of trouble, but, you know, sometimes you can't help but laugh, and it's just like, how dumb of a thing to get into a lot of trouble for laughing and having a good time. So, you know, I don't know if there is an inappropriate time to laugh. I mean, maybe there is an inappropriate time to laugh when it hurts somebody. But if it's not hurting somebody, you know, you should be allowed to do it. So great write, Aphasiana.
Thank you. Kel, would you read the one by Mindful for us?
Certainly. Let me get here. Okay. Mindful, entropy. I once knew a girl like you who knew a little trick or two until there were just a few.
who hadn't seen the show. But times they never last, it seems, and like all my other wild schemes, they just go off to the land of dreams and girls I used to know. I thought I saw you yesterday from a distance. It's hard to say. Sometimes my mind seems to betray and my heart is left to cry. But I guess it isn't meant to be. Fate has not sent you to me. Instead of all just entropy, disorder, then we die. End poem.
Oh, that is quite the dark ending. Thank you, Mindful. This is so sad, which is, you know, good sometimes in a poem if it can make you feel something. It never seems to last. But times they never last, it seems. And like all my other wild schemes, they just go off to the land of dreams. You know, that's so sad when your ideas and your plans don't work out. And I think that happens to all of us to a certain degree. This feels very real. And it says in the AN, this song goes way back with me and evokes rather chilling bad memory from my formative years. And songs have a way of doing that, of bringing back feelings no matter what they are, whatever was going on with you at the time when you, when this song was big or when you first heard it. Songs can bring up trauma, and that is a valid response. And thank you so much for sharing. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a strong emotive write, and I really like this all the way through, but especially I thought I saw you yesterday from a distance. It's hard to say. Sometimes my mind seems to betray and my heart is left to cry. You know, I think that can easily happen to any one of us, and, you know, the idea that whether we broke up, the relationship broke up, or it's somebody who passed away, you know, and you, even though, like, especially if it's somebody who passed away, even though realistically you know that it's not them, you can't help but for a second or so have that kind of almost sense of hope that it is them, and then your heart is broken, and it's just an excellent write and very well done.
That's so true. Thanks, Pam. And Dexter, what did you think?
You know, it went from only the good die young to a very other, or for to another phrase that's very commonly used. You know, it just seemed like life's a bitch and then you die. You know, that just seems like it was the driving inspiration for this almost. Because of just the way that it goes towards the end. You know, it just has sometimes, it always feels like it's going to work out until the realization comes to that it almost isn't. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can take that, and I don't want to sound preachy to Mindful, but so I'll just stick to the right. I thought it was a very well-conveyed message.
Thank you, Dexter. And Kel, you read it for us, but what did you think?
I thought it was a very emotive piece. And like you all said, it's sad, and it resonates. It really does. There's been plenty of times when I see it at the store or something, and I think I see a loved one that had passed away, and, you know, turn back, and it's not them. Well, of course it's not them, but you hope in your heart that it is, because you miss them so much. But, yeah, this is, even if it's someone you knew in the past, you know, and it hurts, it really does. So this was a really, really awesome expression of that. very well written.
I agree. Thank you, Cal. Now, our next poem is actually from the contest that we had on Double Helix. It's a carryover. And Dexter, that was your contest. Would you like to read this one?
Yeah, I can do that. This is Mammon is art. I am chasing it. Money. Hard money. Digital currency with no interest. And I find myself vaguely cognizant of how easy it is to become a millionaire and yet be so absolutely poor. And I can tell you that this thing, finding it, it's what into a poem. And I can tell you that this thing, finding it's what into a poem, tarnish it the way that the painting of the sublime of a sublime portal becomes. Less a piece of art precisely when it creates for, when it is create for commerce and not driven by the creator's inner need to express pain or philosophy or his or her madness or melancholy. I suppose money becomes an art when it is minted by the reserve to create a volatile and unstable economy. This is not art, but folly. Love and sex is an art, not currency meant to be exchanged between a hoe and a rake, but a means taken to express the spirit's hunger through the body of an animal. I am a jaguar. You, my beloved, are a delicate fawn. And shall we lie down and eat straw like a bull and a lamb? Money makes whores of us all in the end. And for my ambition, I can never or will never make enough to buy a modicum of your genuine love or redemption. End poem.
Thank you, Dexter. So that was by Thomas Blacken for the money contest. And it was like, what does money mean to you? I really liked that he pointed out that a painting or any kind of art isn't as impactful if it was done specifically for the money. You can generally tell if someone's heart is in it. Did they paint it? Did they write it because they had to, because it was in them, or because they're giving the audience what they think the audience wants? I think there's kind of a stiffness to things that are done specifically for the sake of money compared to when it's a genuine piece of art, when it's something that just kind of flows out of the artist. And not to say that it's not work, you still have to craft it. But I like that he points out the difference there and how money can kind of corrupt things, because it makes people try to do what's sellable rather than what is what they really want to produce. I really loved that section. Kel, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was an interesting concept. And the way he changed, not changed direction, but changed direction. If that makes sense. That is not art, but folly. Love and sex is an art, not a currency meant to be exchanged. It's just, I'm not real sure. It's kind of dark in some way. Driven by the creator's inner need to express pain or philosophy or his or her madness or melancholy. It's interesting. But I think I'd have to delve a little bit deeper. Unless
I think
it might just be me, but yeah, it's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Messed up my toe.
Oh no. Pam, would you like to comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always impressed with his writing. And Keller's right, there's a certain darkness to this. And I think the darkness comes in the use of talking about being a whore. And because that works, it has a dual level. You know, it can just be very straightforward and mean simply someone who sells their body. But, you know, you can also look at as a whore as metaphorically as the idea of someone who cheapens themselves, cheapens their art, as you were talking about, Ephesiana, to make that money. You know, we look at people, women and men, who sell their bodies, and we judge, it just basically is that whole idea that anything that has been created, such as yourself, such as your art, should not be used so cheaply. So just a wonderful, thought-provoking write, and very well done.
And Dex, will you close out the comments on that one?
Yeah, I thought that he did a good job at almost comparing when you're trying to create art for money, how it comes out kind of soulless and doesn't work. But it's almost like when you're trying to chase money that you don't believe in, how it doesn't work either. And I think that he kind of captured that kind of, I don't know what the word is for it, almost like a simile or something. But I thought that this was a very, very deep write as far as just the concept. And so I appreciate him writing it for the contest.
Agreed. Now I'm going to try to squeeze in our last poem. This is by Blatant B, and it was also to the money contest. Man is money. If it had a face, it would depict many faces. If it had a voice, it would speak many languages. If it had a heart, it would be cold. If it had ambition, it would be boundless. If it had personality, it would be split. It would overthrow countries. It would corrupt governments. It would destroy lives. It would enslave people. It would kill humanity. Money is an idea. There was a distant dream, a forgotten reality, where mankind lived from the land, shared everything, respected the land, living free, provided by nature, no taxes and debt, mutualism and respect. End poem. I always appreciate Blatant B's perspective. He tends to take a different view on whatever the topic is and make it his own, and I really appreciate that. I don't have a lot of time, so Dexter, can you comment?
Yeah, he kind of took it in a direction that I was kind of even I liked, because I think that money shouldn't exist in the world, and he kind of went to a place of going back at a time before money, and that's what I enjoyed out of this, right? And he kind of made it into a personified money in the beginning as a person, but at the same time, we as people lived in a world before money for longer than we have in a world with money, and we did it just fine. So I thought that this was a great write and very well done.
Well said. I am losing my voice, but Pam, would you tell us about your upcoming contest?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, on Sunday, there's Rex's show, Rhythm and Rhyme. He's running a contest with the Lady Gaga song prompts. Twisted Tuesdays is Cow Parade. which has a lot of different artwork from the annual art event called Cow Parade. I recommend checking that out. Also, after midnight on Tuesday, which is kind of before Twisted Tuesday, they got kind of mixed up there, is My Chemical Romance Songlines. And then I also have the Art of Seduction on Wednesday, and that contest is the artwork of Sekhar Roy. And then for Friday, I have Break On Through, which I have two art prompts in that contest. Well, both are Pablo Picasso paintings. One is Reading the Letter, and the other one is Olga Deep in Thought. So if you get a chance, make sure to check out those contests and topic boards, and I hope you're all inspired.
Those sound awesome. Thank you, Pam. I always have contests going as well, so check out Aphasiana and all night on allpoetry.com. Thank you to Dexter, Pam, Kel, Captain B2, and Lynn for calling in, and to everyone who shared their poetry. I hope that I hear from you again for the next show. And thank you, everyone. Good night.